Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to the Brian Dainsburg Podcast, Christian Living in a Complicated World. And I've got a bonus episode for you. In the month of July, we are with here John Vallier, who's the lead pastor of Lakeside Alliance Church, which was birthed out of Alliance Bible Church here in Mequon. Lakeside's in Port Washington, and that birth took place January of 2024. Yes, did I have that right?
Yes, it did. Yeah. John, thanks welcome. For having me, Brian.
We're doing an update. We're doing an update, and the fact that we are a year and a half into that and we're doing an update is a good thing.
I'd say so. You know, not every church plant makes it even a year and a half, so we're glad to be here.
It doesn't. So we are excited to talk a little bit about the things that have taken place with Lakeside, what's been happening with Lakeside, and we're going to get it straight from the horse's mouth.
Thank you.
Straight from the horse's mouth. So, John...
It's a good-looking horse, too.
It's a good-looking horse. It's a good-looking horse.
That's what my wife
Sharp
would say.
Looking horse. Yeah, absolutely. So a year and a half in, when we did this last time, things looked different than they do now.
Yeah.
And there's a little more road traveled. We look in the rearview mirror, a little more road traveled with Lakeside. So talk to us a little bit about that journey over the year and a half. What does it look like? What are you seeing? What are you observing? What are you learning? All this sort of thing. Talk to us about it.
Well, you know, kind of in the same way that when you have a kid and they change so much, so fast in those early years, that's kind of what I feel like with watching Lakeside and its development is who we were when we planted a year and a half ago. And who we are today, so different. We look, we feel so different. When somebody walks into Lakeside these days, the last thing on their mind is this must be a church plant, you know, or this they must be figuring things out. You know, just that kind of feel is pretty much gone.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's okay. We move at the speed in which the Lord is leading and developing us, not at the speed of any other set of expectations, really. And so that's been really neat to be able to watch and see. And for me, within that, watching these last 18 months and the development of this church, a couple of things that I've really witnessed is just how faithful God is. You know, in ministry, and growing up as a pastor's kid in ministry, and that this is the only world I have ever known, in a sense, really, I have learned that lesson again and again and again, like we all do. But you learn it in different ways. And you see how faithful God is to be able to take something that, you know, you start with a handful of people agreeing to be a part of it, and into a sustainable entity. That is so cool. And you know, it wasn't you. It was God.
Yeah.
And he is faithful in it. Because it's not just that God's faithful, but it's his work. The church isn't my work.
Right.
It is his work. And that has been very humbling to see and to admire. Because worship will draw you to that point of humility and admiration of what he is up to. And it's so much better than anything you would ever have come up with. And it's so different. Which really is, you know, the last thing with it, where it's not just that it's his work, it's that he's at work in it. And so there have been changes of life changes, you know, of people as they are coming to meet him. There have been things about his word that have stuck out. There has been ways that he has used that to really impact somebody that I would never have anticipated. I would never have come up with. And in other ways that, you know, you meet somebody and you're like, I don't even know how this person could come to know Jesus on a human level. And yet he transforms their hearts. And so it's he's faithful. It's his work. And he's at work in it. And it's so cool to watch.
Let me ask a follow-up question to that. You talk about how a year and a half into this, it's different than what it was when you started. And yet you started with a group of 150 or so.
Yes. Yeah.
And they have navigated that shift and that change. So you're telling me it's possible. What you're telling me is it's possible for church people to adapt to some seismic change.
Yes.
They've done that? And how have they done that?
They have. And, you know, statistically, in a church plant like ours, most people are going to leave, mm-hmm. but that started with you. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful that the vast majority of them are actually right there with us, and they are excited to be a part of it. Now, I'm going to keep an eye on that,
and so forth. Yeah.
But they have faithfully gone through these changes. I mean, mm-hmm. just the physical changes mm-hmm. of places, locations, how things are set up, the relational changes,
right?
Building new friendships inside of a brand new church. That's not easy. That's mm-hmm. not, and the older you get, actually, the harder that becomes. But they have really faithfully gone through that. And then even just the change of who it is that's preaching mm-hmm. every single Sunday morning, who mm-hmm. it is that's leading worship, mm-hmm. who it is that's teaching classes, mm-hmm. All those kinds of dynamics of how they are feeding and growing in their walk with Christ. They've had to go through all of those changes. And I would say that the thing that seems to be the fuel behind those changes is that they are forward focused folks. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not looking back. They're not. I don't hear a lot of "I really miss at ABC how we used to da 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 da."
Right.
And I'm so grateful for that. They are forward looking, and that makes all the difference for them because their hope is them in what's ahead.
Right.
Not in what's behind.
Right. That's crucial to have forward focusing people. You know, it reminds me of the folks who get the difference between function and form in ministry. The functions of the church never change. Worship, instruction, fellowship, evangelism, prayer, those things never change. That has not changed for someone who has gone out from ABC to LAC because LAC continues to do all those things. But the forms change, the way in which it's done.
Yes.
Changes. And the people who are able to separate those and rightly prioritize those are the ones who tend to handle change better. And it is thrilling to me to hear after a year and a half with seismic change, these folks are still at the wheel.
And I think to a degree that speaks not just to, you know, their character and to the faithfulness of God, but also to the, you know, the helpfulness of preparation. We took a long on-ramp to get going, and we spent a lot of that time educating, preparing, talking about even right there, form and function was one of the last at the table key talking presentations that we gave. And that was really important. I think a lot of our folks were able to adapt, not just magically, but because they had been equipped.
Yeah.
So we see a lot of that.
One of the, I'm not sure how to frame this, but one of the, let's say, critiques that you would hear, and I think, I don't think it's localized to Southeast Wisconsin. I think oftentimes whenever you're planting in a churched country, one of the critiques you may get, or one of the warnings, or one of the, you know, unfounded prophecies you may get from somebody is that, well, when you plant, you're just going to sheep steal.
Yeah.
You're just going to take from established churches and it's just going to be transfer.
Right.
From one church to another. Yeah. So we're a year and a half into this and you've got some data.
I do.
What have you found?
Well, we've learned a lot of things. And I would just mention as a lead pastor, I'm continuing to learn a lot of things. But in particular about that piece right there, what I would call the pie mindset, right? That there's only so much of this Christian pie and you can slice this, but you're going to steal from my slice rather than a much bigger open mindset about how we are here to reach a community.
Yeah.
Anyways, one of the things that we've done is we've had the practice of doing an annual survey. And so we just finished one in April of this year, right after Easter and so forth. I think it was 2 weeks after, something like that. And one of the things that we found is that we have reached a lot of unchurched, de-churched, or disconnected people in our region from church. Mm. And so one out of every five Lakesiders on a Sunday morning meets that description. One out of every five Lakesiders was unchurched, de-churched, disconnected from church. And that is by their own self-reporting.
That's okay? Self-reporting,
so
yeah.
I would say, really, that's at least one in five people. They previously didn't go to a church on a typical Sunday. Maybe they went at Christmas.
Yeah.
Maybe they signed off saying, well, you know, I'm a part of St. Joe's, something or another, you know, yeah, out there. That's, but they weren't going to church.
For those of you unfamiliar with church statistics, to have 20% of your congregation that fits that description is enormous. Those of you unfamiliar, don't study the church statistics, probably don't, but that is an enormous number to have 20% of your congregation come, yeah, from that.
Now, as a pastor, as a church planter, does that thrill me? Absolutely. As a pastor, does that partially scare me?
Yeah.
I'm trying to lead and disciple one out of every five, having such a small bucket to, yeah, draw from of any kind of knowledge. Because what we've learned is that our folks, that they haven't really been given any kind of Bible education, no Sunday school background. Mm-hmm. No, you know, their Sunday morning experience was probably fairly liturgical in nature, in which it wasn't really perhaps equipping them, mm-hmm, with anything. So even if they were coming to us from a church, mm-hmm, okay, that many times that we find it's been a very liberal church, mm-hmm, in a Bible empty church.
Yeah.
So even of our other four Lakesiders on a Sunday morning, many of them were not, you know, a part of here at Alliance Bible Church or a part of another Bible-believing church.
So let me tie that into the first question I asked about what you're learning. Did you expect that?
I hope for it.
You hope for it. Did you? Okay.
But I can tell you about some of our expectation, mm-hmm, because we developed a Larry Lucy model, mm-hmm, is what we called it, our Lakeside Larry and our Lakeside Lucy, mm-hmm, to identify just who was the average person in the Port Washington, Sockville area of Wisconsin that we would be attempting to reach. Mm-hmm. We did that in a bit of a two-sided mindset. First of all, we know that when we plant the gospel, that's our primary job. We want to plant the gospel's flag, and whoever it is that God draws to us, that's who he has sent. Okay, we want to adopt that posture that we are gospel-centered. It's not about, you know, reaching just this one particular segment. It's about preaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so we were fine with that, whoever it is that God was going to send us. But we also, we tailored our ministry aims to try to reach the folks who are in our neck of the woods primarily. And, yeah, so we had this mindset that we were going to be reaching somebody who probably had some kind of Catholic, Lutheran background as a kid, probably were in their early 40s, probably was married, probably had some middle school, high school kind of, you know, kids, probably two, yeah, at home. That was our model of who just is the average person in our neck of the woods. That's, mm-hmm, not every neck of the woods. We get that. But that's who we thought we'd be reaching. And the reality is, I have met so many Larrys and Lucys. It's,
yeah,
it's off the chart. And it's, yeah, so cool to see that they are coming to a church whose lead foot is the gospel.
Yeah.
They're not coming because we had some amazing set of programs, although we have some great work going on, very, mm-hmm, proud of our Lakeside kids and all that kind of stuff. But they were coming, and the number one reason on our survey is preaching.
Mm-hmm.
It's right. It's way, nothing else competes with it. Right.
They are
curious about the Bible.
Right.
And one of our other top reasons is theology.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know what God's word means, mm-hmm, for their life. And so I love it. Love it. Love seeing that. That's why we want people to come.
Yeah.
And God will use all kinds of wonderful programming that matches up with that. Absolutely. But we wanted to lead with the gospel. That's who we thought we'd reach. Mm-hmm. And I'm really grateful because we did reach them, and it makes so much of our planning that match up, and it fuels what we're doing. So we're not constantly having to rewire things, refigure things out, because maybe we reached somebody else that we weren't anticipating primarily. Yeah. And so that's been pretty cool to see.
You know, for those of you listening at home, and going back, John, to your pie illustration, there are countless folks, a plethora of folks, who are dying of spiritual malnutrition.
Yeah.
And there's simply no shortage of people in that category to reach. Some of them may be part of churches.
Right.
They might be part of churches. But like I said, you know, when we set out to plant a church, just because there's a church in every corner doesn't mean the gospel is preached on every corner.
Correct. Yeah.
And oftentimes when it's not and someone is a part of that church, it doesn't take long before they're not part of that church because there's nothing compelling to keep them.
Right.
There.
Yeah, they're not being fed.
Yeah.
They're not being fed. You know, one of the things that was a surprise to me, though, as we looked at the survey, and now it wasn't a surprise to me visually, but it was a surprise to me numerically, is that we actually have ended up slightly younger than what we have anticipated. Mm. So 53% of our adults on an average Sunday morning are under 40.
Wow.
They're 30-year-olds, they're 20-year-olds. Yeah. 53%. Now that's not even including, you know, that's not including minors. Okay. Yeah. We have a gob of kids that if you have that kind of age group going to your church, you quickly end up with lots and lots of kids.
Yeah.
Which is exciting.
Yeah.
But we're slightly younger than what we had anticipated. We're slightly younger than the county around us. And I think that is a surprise when people come in to an evangelical Bible teaching church and they look around and they go, these people are young. Mm-hmm. This is a young church.
Right.
I think that surprises people. I think in a good way. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not that we were aiming for that, but it is who God has sent us.
Yeah.
And it's slightly younger than what we thought we'd end up with.
Yeah. So every number, behind every number, there's a story. Talk a little bit about what you're seeing with the stories.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things as a pastor is whenever you hear that, and I'm sure you experience this too, Brian, is you have so many stories and so many of them you can't talk about.
Yeah. Yep.
Some of the best ones you can't say a thing about.
Right.
And yet it's so cool to watch how God is working. And so I thought about that and a couple that are that I'm able to talk about. One is with a young guy, again, in his 30s. They've got two kids. They live in Port Washington.
Yeah.
Grew up a bit Lutheran and so forth. Mm. He actually came to one of our very first community-wide events. Then from there, he and his family got some information about the church, and they were right in there the first Sunday. They joined right up with a small group Bible study that we lead in our own home. Mm. And then through that time, God just started chipping away in this guy's heart because he was very open about the fact that he was not a Christian. Mm. He knew it. Which sometimes is a surprise to me. A lot of people, they don't always know really where they're at with God. This guy knew. Mm. He knew that he was not saved, knew what he was trying to figure out, but was open, you know, to things. Mm. And God has led him on a journey to the point, using all kinds of cool stuff, even right down to his kids asking him a question about whether or not dad was saved, right to him.
Wow.
And teaching and character witness of other Christian guys around him to finally last November, him accepting Christ during a communion service. You know, that part in the service where we fence the table and we say, hey, you know, if you're not a believer, it invites you not to participate because this just wouldn't mean the same thing to you as it's intended to mean. Mm-hmm. And he heard that and it resonated with him. He went, I need to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Mm. And he did that morning. Wow. And it was so cool. We got to baptize him not that long ago, Palm Sunday. Mm. And that day, I still get emotional sharing this. I got to take out a sticky note that had been in my Bible with his name written on it as we had been praying for him for over a year that he'd come to meet Jesus. Mm. And whenever I see that story and think about that family, I go, what if we hadn't planted? Mm. What if we had held back? What if we had said, no, this is just going to be about sheep stealing mm-hmm. and listened to that? Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Right.
Not at all. And how faithful God is right. to work through that. So that was one of the stories that just, man, just captured this.
Powerful. Movie. And it makes it all worth it.
Yes.
Makes it all worth it.
There's a famous World War II movie with Frank Sinatra in it, of all things. Mm. And he has this quote in there where even if one gets out of this concentration camp, it will all be worth it.
Yeah.
And I think about that sometimes with evangelism yeah. in the church. Yeah. We do a lot of work. And yeah. you know what? Fruit comes in. Mm-hmm. Fruit comes in. Sometimes not as much fruit as we had hoped for. Right. But you know what? Any yeah. life saved by the gospel message, boy, it just makes it all worthwhile.
Absolutely. There are people listening who, you know, may want to know how they can be praying for Lakeside. There's some incredible things that we have to be thankful to God for. The story he's written thus far is beyond what I could have asked or imagined. But it's ministry in a fallen world. There's stuff to be overcome still. So how, you know, the listener who's saying, wow, this is fantastic. I just want to continue to do all I can to fight for LAC on my knees. How can they be doing that?
Boy, I love that question. There are two things that I would invite that person to be praying for us with. Number one would be receptivity to the gospel message. We actually pray noon daily for that, mm-hmm. that God would soften the hearts of our community and guard our church, mm-hmm. you know. But I would invite them to join in us praying for receptivity to the gospel message. Mm-hmm. There are lots of folks who hear the gospel and they think this is too good to be true.
Mm-hmm.
We've met them. Mm-hmm. We've met them. There's other folks that they just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And they need God to open up the eyes of their heart mm-hmm. to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
And I have had the wonderful, frustrating experience of sitting with guys weeks after weeks sharing the gospel and them still going, you know, I don't really know. I don't really yeah. know what I believe.
Yeah.
And I don't take that as a cop-out answer. Mm-hmm. I take that as going, God has to open up your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He has to soften your heart. So mm-hmm. receptivity to the gospel. The other one I would pray for, ask you to pray for is God's provision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes, church plants can hit financial headwinds, all those kinds of things. We've seen God's faithfulness, though, time and again with that. But there's so many other ways that we are actually dependent on God to provide mm-hmm. for his work. We're going to be looking to hire another pastor. And we need God's provision in that mm-hmm. way. We're going to be in need of mature Christians to mm-hmm. be able to lead and disciple more. You begin to put all of your people out into the field and you start praying, yeah. God, send more workers into the harvest, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, we those kinds of aspects of God's provision are not things that are dollar signs.
Mm-hmm.
They're all the other things mm-hmm. that he does. Mm-hmm. And so, boy, I would invite that.
Mm-hmm. John, it is great to hear the updates on what's going on with LAC a year and a half in. And as I mentioned before, the story that God has written thus far is beyond what I could have asked or imagined when the seeds of this were starting to make themselves known and pop and make noise. So thanks for being with us. And we're going to do it again.
It'll be great.
And we'll keep updating our listeners on what the Lord is doing through this this movement done through the local church. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Brian.